I mean, the way they are with him is revealing out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. They don't want to accept him. They see the miracles he does, yet they do not want to accept him because of what he's saying. And it's not that what he's saying isn't true. It's because it is condemning them. They thought they were righteous. They thought the Messiah should be glad to see them. Oh, my Pharisees, you have been true to me and true to the law of God. I'm here. Join me now. You know? The first Pharisee we ever hear of being converted was the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. Now, I don't know if he was the first. No, there are other. There's actually, I probably spoke too soon. I think of Nicodemus and of some of the other. I mean, there were men among them. I'm not trying to condemn a whole group of people, but their sect was meticulous in a very outward way. But Jesus is looking for people who know they need something from outside of them to save them. They know that there is something not right still. They know that they need someone to heal them. They need someone to deliver them from sin. They can't do it themselves. They need a Savior. And that's what he says. I came to those who need a Savior, not to those who think they have it all. And I tell you, and what it is it's those who sin and think they don't need anything more. I can apply this to Christians of today who are legalistic, just like the Pharisees, but they're legalistic in a different way. In the almost opposite way. Legalistic in that they say, well, I believe, I have faith in Jesus, that I trust him for my salvation, and that God looks at as righteous. And yeah, I may have iniquity, but what I have in Christ, in my faith, is sufficient. I don't need to be delivered from all my iniquities. I just need this little bit of faith that I have, and that is enough to save me. I need nothing more. They are also believers that they are whole and don't need anything more. Oh, I need Jesus. I know you say that. But you don't believe in him for doing the things he promised he would do. Do you believe that he can deliver you from sin? Well, I believe he has the power. Then why don't you believe that he will? If thou willst, thou can do this. And he says to you, I will. Be thou free from sin. And you say, what do you say? Will you be free from sin? Do you believe that he can do this? Do you want to get up and walk? Instead of being down in the dust all the time, wallowing in the mire of sin and corruption, Christ came to deliver those who know they need deliverance. Jesus didn't come to call those who are righteous, who are already sufficient to themselves, who believe they don't need anything more than that they already possess, but those who know that the goal lies ahead, and those who are reaching forward for a victory that is unseen, who in faith hope for something that is just out of sight, who in faith are reaching for something that is beyond their grasp, who need the power of God, who need a deliverer, who can bring them to the finish, who can deliver to them the promised prize. Sinners to repentance. Not just sinners to complacency, or sinners to think that they are sufficient as they are. No, but sinners to repentance, to a change of mind, to a change of heart, to a change of lifestyle, that we would deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we would live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. Titus, the book of Titus, chapter 2, is where I'm quoting from. In this present world, we want to lay aside all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Not merely of the spirit. No, also of the flesh. Not merely of the flesh, but also of the spirit. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Not a theoretical freedom where you are not free, but you believe I'm free enough. Good enough. No. And I tell you, that to me, that is the story of my life, is wanting something more. Because I had mere faith. But faith without works is dead, and I could see the deadness of my faith. And it is not just spiritual works only. No, there are outward manifestations of the faith that is inward. And, you can't put a light under a basket. Salt cannot lose its savor. This is very simple doctrine. Jesus Christ His doctrine is transparent. It is open. It is not cloudy and difficult in the hands of a teacher who understands this simplicity. He's called us to righteousness, not from righteousness.
I need the righteous to gather around me, because I need you, righteous people.
They wanted to be affirmed in themselves and have their own value to be acknowledged by God. But that's not how it works. We have to come to God acknowledging that we have no value, except that he could make us valuable. And then to have faith that, no, yes, he will. He will. A polished shaft in his quiver hath he hid me. From Isaiah.
God, he quotes from Hosea, I believe, verse 13 is from Hosea 6. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I would have love. Is that what it means? Compassion. See, people think that the works that they do, I choose you, God, I love you, God, I choose to do this. They think that their choices and their works will ingratiate them to God. I will provide a sacrifice to God, and then God will look at me with pity. I will provide a sacrifice to God, and God will forgive my sins. I will provide this to God. I'm going to provide that to God. I'm going to bring something to God, and God is going to acknowledge me. God is going to accept me because of what I've brought. And that is foolishness. God wants to have mercy on you. I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful, and I will be compassionate to whom I will be compassionate. Seek my mercy, and not to bring me sacrifice. That's what it means. And also that we should show mercy to others. You know, I want you to be merciful to others. I don't want you to bring sacrifice to me. I want you to be righteous, and not to need further sacrifices. God wants to be merciful to us, and deliver us from our iniquities, so that we might not feel that we need to bring God more, except that we would bring it to him in the spirit of thanksgiving, and bring it to him in the spirit of a son, doing the honorable work of the Father. Because that is what we are to become. He gave us power to become the sons of God. Verse 14. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto him, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn, as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then they shall fast.